Yo, it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's a blast deep into the night. And a two-run homer for Baez.
And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Donna goes in motion left. Snap it to Michelle. He's running to the left. Angling. 25-20. Got a block for Brown. 50. 10. 5. Touchdown. 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 Dogs win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Trubisky's going to run it. And he is going to get a first down. How about Trubisky to the 42-yard line? Oh, my goodness.
In the ring. Steamboat's got him up. A slam. McClaren inside Crane. 1-2. He did it. He's done it. He's on side whistle. McClaren has done it. McClaren has done it.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up, what's up? And welcome in. You're listening to ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood, weeknights at 7 here on ESPN 1000. What open phone lines for you? 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776, the telephone number. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweet J Hood. Saying what's up to you also on Instagram, IG J Hood. Saying what's up to you also for those of you watching the program on Facebook Live. Facebook Jonathan Hood. With you until 10 o'clock on the program tonight, we will have, oh, yes, Petticoat Junction. And there's plenty, boy.
Petticoat Junction.
Oh, there's so much pettiness in the sports world. We'll find the pettiest of the sports weekend coming up at 7:50. We also do Summer of Football. If you love football, college, pro, man, you know there's going to be camps opening up all across the country when it comes to the NFL and college football, and nobody covers it like Summer of Football. We do it every night, 8 o'clock. Our special guest here on this Monday night will be the veteran John Moon Mullen. He will be with us from NBC Sports Chicago. We'll get his thoughts on the Bears as we're just 10 days away from training camp opening in Bourbonnais. Tremendous. We also, he'll have Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. Also, maiden voyage for Chris Kampka. Chris Kampka, also from NBC Sports Chicago, covers the White Sox. We'll get his thoughts about the White Sox. You guys never talk about the White Sox.
The Chicago White Sox. How about that?
Hey, so there you go. A little White Sox there for you. Coming up at 9:10 with the Sox being idle. And how can you tell based on how they played against Houston if they're idle tonight? Because they were idle the entire time against the Houston Astros. Brutal. But we will talk about how brutal the Sox are and whether or not there's some positivity from this White Sox team in the minor leagues. We'll get to that coming up at 9:10. Also, you will hear from Tim Kirchgen. Does a great job covering Major League Baseball. Loves the sport. We'll hear from Timmy coming up at 9:35. Also, for you UFC / MMA / WWE fans, Brett Okamoto, who covers the UFC for ESPN.com, you will hear from him as well. Poor Brett. He's trying to cover the UFC, but continues to cover the WWE at the same time. And he's pissed about it. He got into ESPN and decided to come to this company to cover the great sport of mixed martial arts, but somehow Brock Lesnar continues to bring his WWE nonsense into that sport. And so we'll talk to Brett about it coming up late in our program and also playing time for your thoughts as well. 312-332-ESPN. Hope that you had a great weekend. If you were listening to the station, you know where I was. Right here with you Saturday night and also Sunday afternoon talking to you about NBA free agency and a whole bunch of other stuff. So I hope that you had a great weekend and hope you have a great Monday night as we spend time together until 10 o'clock and then hand it over to Dan Le Batard and Stu Gotts, off of Figation, right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So my first question for you tonight, why do the Bulls do this? Why? Why do the Bulls sign Zach LaVine? Did Gar and Pax see that with all these other signings that they had to make news as well? You know, some of these signings in free agency is for that exact reason. Like, oh, everyone else is making signings. I got to make a splash too. He's looking at you, Pacers, when I say that. You signed Doug McDermott to a 3-year, $22 million contract, guaranteed, all of it, just so you can make a splash. Why? Why did the Bulls do this? Why did they overspend on a player that they're not even sure about? It's one thing for you and I to speculate on whether or not a player is good or not. It's another for the organization to even scratch their head and wonder, is this player really worth the money? If you're bidding against Basketball Siberia in Sacramento, let Basketball Siberia win that struggle. The Sacramento Kings is Basketball Siberia. It's not like Vlade Divac and Chris Webber and Bobby Jackson and those guys are coming through that door anytime soon. That Sacramento outfit is deplorable. It is Basketball Siberia. Why do you bid against them? Why do you do that? If they were willing to pay Zach LaVine $80+ million to run and jump and run and jump, because if you take a look at their draft picks, the Sacramento Kings just draft guys that can run and jump and run and jump and shoot a little bit and then run and jump and lose and lose and lose. That's the Sacramento Kings. Why get into a pillow fight with that team? Why do that? As for Zach LaVine, cool. You made some big coin for being relatively unproven as a Chicago Bull. But from the Bulls' standpoint, once again, they appear to be at a crossroads on what they really want to do. Gar Foreman told me at the draft, as I hosted with Nick Friedell and Chris Bleck at the draft, he said he had no problem if the Bulls were a playoff team in 18 and 19. When I posed this to John Paxson, though, a whole different kettle of fish.
Let's slow the train down here a little bit.
It's a weak Eastern Conference, yeah. We see the landscape before us.
It may be much weaker in a couple weeks too.
Well, the train is getting past you.
Yeah,
that's not what you wanted. But look at the core that you have. Don't you think that's a top 8 team running?
Let's see. I never wanted to anoint young players to, you know, all of a sudden they're gonna be something. This league is hard.
Dunn and LaVine are veterans.
Yeah, they are. They're some of our most veterans. When you draft like this, you tend to forget certain other guys. And we still have Bobby Portis, who had a terrific year for us. Denzel Valentine, who had some really good times for us. So we feel like we're kind of starting this nice nucleus, and it's young.
It's moving too fast for you.
Well, we're realistic. We know this. In order to win in this league, you need some stars,
right?
And our hope is that Lowry's going to become one. Our hope is that Zach and Chris Dunn are on that path, you know, as well. And if they are, then we've got something good brewing. But we're going to be patient, and you know, we're going to be disciplined in our approach. I think tonight, kind of, you know, when we look at what we did a year ago and got those three pieces for Jimmy, and what we did tonight, I mean, in 1 year's time, we feel like we've gotten five really good young players, and that doesn't happen very often in this business through the draft and through a trade. So we feel good about it.
We're talking about the Bulls on Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. You see how John Paxson tried to push the young narrative on me? Oh, we're young. Oh, there's no way we'll be a playoff team. Oh, we're so young. Here's the thing. I had no problem with the signing, but not that contract. With this signing, are the Bulls a playoff team? It's not about what you want as a Bulls fan. It's really about the reality of the East. When I looked at it and kind of knowing that LeBron was leaning toward Los Angeles or leaning toward leaving the East to go out West, whether it was Houston or whether it was the Los Angeles Lakers, that's why I posed that question to John at the draft, and he looked at me like I had five heads. He's just like, what do you mean playoffs? Well, if you make this signing, let's see if we can follow the dominoes with this. Because I try to just go slowly, bit by bit, to try to absorb what they're trying to do at the Advocate Center. Here's the dominoes that will fall with this signing. If the Bulls don't make the playoffs, Fred Hoiberg is fired. Which is the idea, I think, to try to make him the fall guy. That's actually been talked about to Fred before. And Fred was annoyed by that, but I think that even he understands what's going on here. Paxson, Gar want to get something tangible out of this Jimmy Butler deal. If LaVine is something, then it's worth it to them. But as I was telling Eric in the meeting a couple hours ago, you have Lauri Markkanen. You've kind of won that deal in some ways. If not, it's just a tie. I mean, Jimmy Butler is a fine player and a fine piece, but you have upside with Lauri Markkanen because what he showed in his freshman year, his first year in the NBA, is that he's unafraid. Now, I'm not saying that he's some kind of superstar yet, but I think in the first year from what we saw, like, okay, here's a dude that's not going to turn tail. He actually is going to play here, and he wants to play. And then you see the pictures of him, you know, this offseason, he's bulking up and he's trying to be dedicated to the craft. He's played basketball on a high level. So clearly he's unafraid of the moment. If you truly want to tank, you don't sign this deal. Were the Bulls trying to save face with this deal? Here's what I don't get. As much as I didn't want Jimmy Butler to go, there wasn't a ton of vitriol from you regarding this deal. I remember us opening the phone lines afterwards and it's like, Jimmy Butler's traded. How do you feel? And a lot of you are just like, okay, well, if Pax wants to turn a team over and just wants to start over because he's tired of the seventh seed, okay. Some of you are like that. Some of you say, well, okay, you're kind of like me. You shouldn't be in a position where you're the sixth and seventh seed. No team needs to be 500. 500 is even worse than being horrible. It's one thing to be Golden State. It's another thing to be Sacramento or Orlando. But being in the middle, the Bulls were in the middle and they were treading water and Pax was tired of it. Okay, fine. At least that's a direction. But is that just a one-year direction? The signing tells me that you're not trying to get a top three, top four pick. You're not trying to get in the lottery. You think that Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn, who want, definitely Chris Dunn now, and some of these other proud veterans on this team like a Holiday and some of these, you think that those guys want to be able to go in the lottery? You think they're going to be at the bottom of the East? This signing solidifies the Bulls competing for the playoffs. So if you tell me on one hand on the draft show that, well, you know, we're so young and, you know, let's not talk about the playoffs, but yet you make this signing and not just a sign, not for what Nick suggested with the 4 years, $60 million. No, you went above and beyond to try to outbid Basketball Siberia and Sacramento. Sacramento has no idea what they're doing. It's almost like you've bid against yourself in that regard. If you truly want to tank, why'd you sign this deal? The owners of the Bulls clearly did not like the idea of the non-competitive team that was on the floor last year. You can understand why. Sold out seats and a whole bunch of no-shows. They don't want to see that. They would prefer the sixth and seventh seed Bulls. You know why? Because a little cash in the pocket for the playoff. Butts and seats at the United Center. Doesn't matter if you are going to win that series or not. They would prefer the playoffs versus being stuck. Not like where Phoenix was. You know, not in the top three, top four, but where they were in the draft. Where they had to take Wendell Carter. Not like they wanted Wendell Carter, but they had to take him because that was the best player available in their eyes, which is fine. But just understand, like, if you're going to be awful, you might as well go all the way to the bottom and be as bad as possible. And the Bulls, the proud veteran Bulls, wouldn't allow that to happen. Because, once again, there wasn't enough tanking for the Bulls. The Bulls cannot be the White Sox for the long haul. Even though in Jerry Reinsdorf's, you know, in his mind's eye, he's more of a baseball guy than a basketball guy. But the Bulls can't be the White Sox. That just won't be allowed with the other owners with the Bulls. Being Orlando or Sacramento or Brooklyn just won't do in the NBA. It just won't do. And it can't do for this Bulls team. So when you hear from Brian Windhorst from ESPN.com, when you hear from Bobby Marks, interesting thoughts that they have about Zach LaVine in this particular contract. As I mentioned, I didn't mind LaVine being on this team, but not for that kind of dough. That's not my money. I'm just saying that don't hamstring yourself for next year's free agency. Not saying like the Bulls would really be seriously in the free agency sweepstakes for like Klay Thompson. I mean, come on now. I mean, it's Chicago. There are free agents that rather go to cold-ass Minneapolis and play there rather than to come here. And that's the perception on the West Side. It's not my perception. That's the perception on the West Side. But clearly, you see what's happening here with free agents. Yeah, 1 year, $5.3 million to play part-time for Golden State, I'll do that. I'll do that rather than to come here. Okay. So let's hear from Brian Windhorst, because I think that his thoughts on Waddle and Sewell were interesting. Keep in mind that the Bulls not only have this deal, but they have like a Derrick Rose clause in the deal because they don't want to sign a big deal to someone that they're not 100% sure he's going to be healthy. That's the other thing. If you don't know if he's going to be 100% healthy, why don't you just pass on that guy and then find something better? No, we'll sign him, but we'll also have an injury clause. And clearly, Zach and his agent were good with this. Here's Brian.
Sylvia, I'd never heard of this before. I actually had to have somebody explain this to me. I have heard of many players who can't get the teams can't get insurance on their contract. And I could go on for an hour explaining insurance in the NBA, but essentially their insurance companies, Lloyd's of London or whatever, if they look at a guy and they're like, well, listen, if this guy re-hurts this injury, we're not giving you money for this contract. There's dozens of guys who can't get insurance. I have never heard of this type of thing where a contract becomes voided. Maybe it's happened more recently and people can cite examples. I'd never heard of it, and I actually had to have someone from the Bulls explain it to me. Because I had never heard of it before. So I think it would have to be a tear of the ACL, in the same knee. So basically what you're trying to protect from is a Jabari Parker situation. Really what the Kings were trying to protect from, and now the Bulls inherited, is the Chandler Parsons situation. Chandler Parsons has a sort of a suspect knee, gets a four-year $80 million max contract from the Grizzlies, ends up having re-injury issues, surgeries, and he's basically ruined as a player right now. That's what they're guarding against. Typically you do not see a player tear his ACL twice, but I can just present you a player right there where it has happened, Jabari Parker. So it's some level of protection, but ultimately that can't be what the Bulls focus on. Ultimately, you're not betting on his knee. What you're betting on is that he elevates himself into an all-star level or near all-star level player. That's what you're paying for.
You know, it's funny. Originally, I did not think Chicago should, and I even mentioned it. But once I kind of dived into the details late that night and into Saturday, I think it's pretty fair. I say it's fair because of the language in there. There's an Exhibit 3 clause in there that gives Chicago protection on that ACL if he re-injures it again, and it basically can wipe their hands clean of any future, financial obligation if there's a recurring injury there. So, when you put an offer sheet like Sacramento did, the intent is always to try to dissuade a team like Chicago from matching it. And I think it incentivized the Bulls to go ahead because there's no trade bonus in there if he was moved again. They basically did the work for the Bulls as far as from a contract standpoint. So yeah, I mean, is the $19.5 million cap hit higher than you probably thought it should be? Yes, but that's restricted free agency. It's almost like arbitration. You let the guy go out and get an offer sheet, and then you decide what to do. So yeah, I'm okay with the Bulls matching it. Because I think LaVine will have a better year than what you saw when he returned from that injury.
Does the injury protection only protect them against an ACL, or is it any other type of knee injury?
ACL. From what I understand.
ACL, yeah. Okay. So
In that one knee.
That, so they do correct. Get a little protection. And that could be at any point in the contract. Is that right, Bobby?
Any point in the contract.
Because you never saw one of these injury situations where someone has a bad ACL and then the other knee gets torn up. That never happens, right? How about the protection for the other knee? No? Okay.
I feel like that's more common, actually, for them to work so hard on their injured knee, and then when they're playing, they favor the other knee and injure the other knee. That's more common, I think, than you blowing the same ACL twice. But hey.
Listen.
Chess, not checkers.
Oh, yeah, well, he's exactly right. Exactly right. it is definitely checkers with them, and sometimes I think it's even worse. I think it's rallies. It's bootleg checkers. It's rallies.
Yes, exactly.
With the Bulls, I'm just telling you, it's something, man. It's something, Eric, because I went to theathletic.com and I gave you my thoughts, and I just kind of looked. Sometimes you have to look at some of these numbers here, talking about how. In theathletic.com, they wrote a piece in saying that that LaVine is an intriguing offensive player, but he's not particularly valuable one so far. LaVine has been reasonably efficient. He's got a true shooting percentage of 57.6% in his last healthy season, up from 54%. It goes on to say that he's also effective around the basket before tearing his ACL, converting 62% or more of his shots around the rim in each of his first three seasons. That number plummeted to 50% as a Bull, but then that's attributed to the injury, and that's kind of a small sample size. Still, his work in the paint is worth keeping an eye on. Levine has also been dangerous from mid-range. In the 16-17 season, he shot 41%. Here is the defensive side of the floor, though. While this number is far from definitive, he was near the bottom of the league for guards in defensive real plus minus in each of his full seasons with Minnesota. Some of that is attributable to his low steals and block rates, which often reflect activity defensively. Levine, his career high steal rate in a healthy season is 1.5%, which puts him about 53rd of 70 guards in the league. So here's the thing about Levine as a player, as a healthy player, right? As I mentioned, I don't mind the signing. I mind how much money that he's going to make out of this. I'm just hoping that this does not come back to bite the Bulls. I don't see Levine as a centerpiece. I think I see him as a piece. Like I see Dunn as a piece. As like I see some of these other, like a Markkanen as a piece. There is no man. There is no guy that you can look at and say, that's the guy for the future. There are pieces. Wendell Carter is a piece. And I don't know if there's going to be a definitive guy over the next couple of seasons that the Bulls can be able to point at and say, yes, this is the guy. This is the person that we're going to have as a centerpiece. Because right now, they're just trying to assemble a team. There's a reason why that John Paxson's hesitant to try to talk about playoffs, where Guard Foreman, on the other side, was just like, yeah, we'll make the playoffs. That's great. They're looking to try to get into the lottery again if they can and get into the draft and continue to build. Well, as you well know, that doesn't work for all teams. But when you're the Bulls, you have no other choice because you're not getting A-list free agents to come into this town. You have to deal with the Pau Gasols, Ben Wallaces of the world, which is not, or Carlos Boozer, which is not horrible, but it's not aces. That's the thing. It's a medium hand where you can stay in the game for a little bit and then you got to fold at some point because that particular hand is just not good enough. It's okay as pieces, but you just don't have a centerpiece. And that's the whole thing with this team. In this Eastern Conference, this LeBron-less Eastern Conference, in which the league is going to be based on Boston and Philadelphia for the next 3 to 6 years. I'll just use that as an example, 3 to 6 years, because of what Philly's been able to do and where Boston is headed. It'd be nice for the Bulls to be able to find out who they are. When Gar says, I'm okay with the playoffs, and then Pax is like, no playoffs. What's the message? What's the real message? That's the thing that was confusing to me on draft night. When you sign Levine, you're trying to say, as I mentioned, a couple of things. Are you saying for sure that, like, well, we're going to sign Zach because we believe that he's going to be a great player for us? So great that you really put a clause in there in which you're not even really sure yourself. If you really thought that this is going to be the guy, you wouldn't have a prenup on the contract. And there's a prenuptial on that contract. And it's smart, but it also tells Bulls fans, we think he might be the guy, but just in case, we're not going to Derrick Rose ourselves. So now what happens after that? I just hate to cover a team that's just spinning their wheels time after time after time. I've sat here and talked about a team that's just not really contending for a long time. Now, I love the NBA, but it's just, I'm almost, if you've heard my shows over the years, you see me kind of just veering off into other things in the East and other things like LeBron James, because if I just wallow here in the muck, in the mire, of Bulls basketball and the what ifs and the question marks and the nonsense and the stories about them not being able to spend money and all this kind of stuff. If you hear me on the weekends when I'm doing national shows on 1000, you don't hear me talk about the Bulls very often because I just don't want it. I don't want the nation to be able to hear me talk about what we talk about here on a nightly basis of this question marks, maybe a contender, maybe not a contender. LeBron's out of the East, man. Get yourself ready, but don't have this double-minded feeling of, well, I think they were young and we're just building. If you're young and building and you're going to have this and be number seven, number eight in the draft, where are you going? what are we all doing? What are we doing? And so that's the thing. It's interesting because we'll hear from Nick Friedell a little bit later on because he had his thoughts. Because Nick originally said 4 years, $60 million seems kind of like a fair deal for someone that's coming off of an ACL. And apparently the Bulls were just all over him on that. Just like there's not, and so was Zach LaVine, quite frankly, because he's like, oh, I know. And Zach is like, I know my worth. Do you really know your worth? Do you really know? Until you get into the spotlight as the guy, as maybe the guy for the Bulls, do you really know your worth? I just look at that Eastern Conference, and it can be had. It is, there's teams that obviously are better, but there's no reason why the Bulls can't be able to build or be able to just tear down the veterans that they have, the other veterans, and trade them, and then try to get into the top three or four. But being in the middle, that's not going to work. Remember, they want to do this to get away from 7th and 8th seed. What do you think this is? What do you think this is? And it's predicated on the LaVine signing, yes, but then just other proud veterans on this team. They have to fill out the roster with other proud veterans that will be on this team because they're looking for the next paycheck. Stepping stone market, Chicago. Stepping stone market. Not a destination yet. Stings, doesn't Eric? Eric crinkled his nose on that because he knows that hurts, but it's true. Stepping stone market. It's not Los Angeles. It's not Oklahoma City. it's not the Golden State Warriors. It's not the Bay Area. It's not Houston. It's not even Portland or Utah at this point. It's a team that's trying to find out who they are. And I like to know who they are. Toronto, Boston, Philadelphia, Indiana, Milwaukee, whatever you think of Washington with that infighting with John Wall pushing Gortat out the door in Washington. Okay. Whatever you think they are, the Bulls are right there. Someone's got to be the 7th and 8th seed in a terrible East. That's not the Knicks. That's not Brooklyn. That's not Orlando. And that's not Atlanta. I don't think that's even Charlotte under Borrego. That's got to be the Bulls. Unless there are moves that are going to be made here to tear it down even further and LaVine be part of an even younger nucleus. I don't know what the plan is. But I know one thing. If the Bulls don't make the playoffs, look for the firing of Fred because someone's got to take the fall. But then if you're firing Fred Hoiberg and you say you're trying to go young, then why are you blaming Fred? There's why it's stupid.
Right.
All right, let's go to SportsCenter. When we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about John Lester. Interesting story in The Athletic about John Lester. You think about great free agents that ever come into the city. Is John Lester the best? We'll talk about it coming up next.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Glad that you're with me here on Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We have got summer football coming up at the top of the hour. I got some futures here for college football. I've got some odds for you. Here's my advice to you. It's July. You might want to get down now. If you're of the gambling sort for entertainment purposes only, you might as well start looking at this now. I got some numbers for you. Also, we'll hear from John Moon Mullen from NBC Sports Chicago, his thoughts about the Chicago Bears. Camp opens up pretty soon here in Bourbonnais, so we'll get a chance to hear from Moon coming up right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I want to get to this piece from The Athletic from Patrick Mooney regarding the Cubs. Cubs, by the way, take on San Francisco. Out of here, the Giants. We'll find out what happens with the Cubs and the Giants. We'll talk about the Cubs a little bit later on. But this particular story I want to bring your way here from The Athletic, from Patrick Mooney, says, John Lester is the greatest free agent signing in Chicago sports history. What do you think of that? When I say it out loud, and you say it out loud to yourself in the car, John Lester is the greatest free agent signing in the history of Chicago sports. So it starts off by saying John Lester accepted the idea of the $155 million would essentially become part of his name and his uniform. But Lester embraced Chicago's obsession with sports, choosing number 34 to pay tribute to Walter Payton, Kerry Wood, and Nolan Ryan. So it just goes on to talk about Lester, and I think that Jesse wrote a terrific column as well about John Lester, how he's all about winning, and he's just it's not in a Jake Peavy overt way. It's not the fake bravado that Peavy would bring to the White Sox, or what we're seeing also with the who's the guy over there with the so with Shields. It's not quite like that, or it's not some of these other guys that just won't give up the ball, right? John Lester is passionate. We interviewed John Lester. He's been in studio with us. John Lester is a guy that's passionate about winning and loves this city. It's embraced him. Thought he'd always just kind of be a Red Sox guy, but he really enjoys being here in Chicago, and I appreciate that. You see the numbers, and as I've said many times on this program when it comes to the Cubs, if it wasn't for John Lester, John Lester really is the MVP of the team. He really is. If it wasn't for John Lester, this Cubs team would not be a real contender in the National League. Even in the National League, they would not necessarily be a contender. All of the offense that they have, and if you cannot win a championship or even a division championship without pitching. Kyle Hendricks with his 4.27 ERA. I'm sorry, ESPN 1000's Kyle Hendricks with a 4.27 ERA. Yu Darvish, okay, one win in eight starts. Quintana, 4.22 ERA. Tyler Chatwood, 70 walks and 71 hits in 79 innings. Brutal, right? So as Hendricks has even said, he says, you know what, we've had one guy carrying it, and the rest of us has just been up and down. And Lester is that constant. And you think about over the history of sports in this city. I'll just go back to the last 20 years, right? As Mooney says, no other free agent moved to Chicago, faced expectations quite like this, the biggest contract in franchise history at the time, plus a championship drought that lasted more than a century, plus the injury wear and tear concerns that make pitchers such risky investments. He thinks that Lester is the very best. And when you think about it, you go through the Bears, right? In 85, that championship team, Hall of Famers Walter Payton, Mike Singletary, Dan Hampton, Richard Dent, they're a homegrown draft picks. The Bulls in that dynasty. Now, after the Portland Trailblazers famously selected Sam Bowie with the number 2 overall pick in 84 draft, surrounding Michael Jordan with future Hall of Famers and Scottie Pippen, that which was a draft day deal with Seattle, as we all know, and Dennis Rodman, the North Korean diplomat. Oh, and also won championships. Dennis also did that. Dennis was not a homegrown guy, as you know and I know. You think about the White Sox, where Frank Thomas was drafted, becomes a Hall of Famer. Carlton Fisk came from the Boston Red Sox. Jermaine Dye was a former Kansas City Royal, comes over, really helps out in a big way. According to the piece, he was guaranteed only 2 years and a little bit more than $10 million, generating 31 homers and 86 RBIs for that 05 World Series championship. On a White Sox winner and a world championship. The White Sox have won the World Series, and they're mobbing each other on the field. White Sox win the World Series. Congratulations. Back in a minute, 5 on ESPN 1000, the White Sox Radio Network. Yeah. Yeah. Andre Dawson offered the Cubs a blank contract in 87, won the MVP, which is nuts at the time. Just fill out the contract, Cubs. Just fill this out. Crazy. I'm looking at this as a, 87. I saw there's a sophomore in high school, and I'm looking at this like, is this dude really going to allow them to just fill in the numbers? And he becomes MVP, shows up, 49 homers, 137 RBIs. He was a Montreal Expo. He was not a Cub. Think about it. So we put the question on the poll at ESPN 1000. I will open the phone lines as well, 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. Tell me this. I want you to take a look at this and you tell me, is John Lester, I'd say the last 20, 25 years, the best free agent the Cubs, that Chicago sports has ever seen? The question we ask you is, who's the best out of these free agents in Chicago sports the past 20 years? Marian Hossa or John Lester? 57% of you say Marian Hossa with the 3 Stanley Cups. Are we just adding championships like we usually do, the lazy narrative of just adding 3 over 1? Is that what we're doing? Or is John Lester the best in Chicago sports that we've seen? Free agent. Marian Hossa. Three Stanley Cup championships. John Lester helping the Cubs win a World Series championship. I'll ask you, Eric, which way are you going to go on that poll as far as the best free agent? Because I think Mooney brings up a great point talking about John Lester. But Hossa does have three Stanley Cups with the Blackhawks.
I think Hossa, they're both so important to their teams, but I think Hossa overall is the better. Like, Hossa's one of the better hockey players to ever be in this town. So I think Hossa would be the better one in that one just because he was, God, it's tough because Lester's so important, but I think Hossa was so, so crucial to those teams and was so good with like keeping the puck on his stick compared to the importance of Lester. I'd take Hossa, but it's close.
Yeah. Would you say, Felix, it's Lester or is it Hossa? Three Stanley Cups, part of some great championship teams with Quenneville. They're not done, by the way. They're not done. And I'm not going to open the line to talk about the Blackhawks because I want to keep you as a listener. But I will tell you that they're not done in the Quenneville administration. But Hossa, three Stanley Cups, and then Lester with the World Series. Who's more valuable? Who's been the best out of these two free agents?
I would say Lester, for sure, because there was so much hype behind Lester, too. That free agency, that offseason, I remember that being the big fish that everyone was going after. And we knew as Cubs fans, if we had gotten him, we would have started this new era with Theo and Jed after they had drafted all these guys and we went through all those years where we weren't winning anything. Getting Lester was like the pointing towards a different direction. And we won a championship. We've done a lot of great things and Lester's having one of his best seasons yet. So it's amazing.
Once again, for those listening for the first time, Felix was in the front office. He says we because he was in the front office.
I always say we. No, as a Cubs fan. As a Cubs fan, too.
No. As someone we had to mention that.
He's got a ring. He can say we.
Felix Reyes was in the front office with McLeod and with Jed and Theo. So when he says we, don't be offended, everybody. He doesn't mean we as a fan we. He was actually in the front office because he does have a championship ring. That is legit.
And Cap doesn't.
No, he does not. So just make sure that for those listening, Felix Reyes does work on the show, but also a World Series champion in his own right. So there you go. Working side by side with McLeod, getting that job done, scouting the players, and getting a World Series championship to Chicago. All right, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. I'm wondering how you look at that. Is it Hossa or is it Lester when it comes to the best free agent signing of all time in Chicago sports, at least over the last 20 years? How do you look at that? We'll get your phone calls on that, and we'll keep voting as well on the poll at ESPN 1000. Oh, there's so much pettiness in the sports world. We find the pettiest of the sports weekend coming up.
Petticoat Junction.
Petticoat Junction.
You're listening to my mans and them.
Just some men that's on the mic. And when we rock up on the mic, we rock the mic.
What? Jay Hood. On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Petticoat. Petticoat. Petticoat Junction.
It's time to get petty.
Oh, we did a good job executing.
Are you upset with something?
And fire up the Petticoat Junction train.
I just don't like you.
You don't?
No.
What is today's petty history? Petty Junction with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Time to look for the pettiest story of the sports weekend. You can find the funniest story of the sports weekend, the most weirdest thing of the sports weekend. We find the pettiest of the sports weekend. Mine is, it came from Rob Perez on Twitter because he's the first one to identify this. During a summer league game, there was Jordan Bell, you know him, Bulls fans. Jordan Bell playing with the Golden State Warriors. He goes in to swat at somebody's dunk. He lands on his feet, looks over at Donovan Mitchell, the Utah Jazz, and his girlfriend, and puts up his hands as if to say, call me. And his girlfriend starts teasing her hair like, is he talking to me?
I mean, Donovan Mitchell's face when this was going on. It's like, what? Like, I'm right next to her. Like, what?
I mean, it's so petty. Like, Jordan, like, that's his girl. Why are you doing that? Call me. Really?
Cash consideration.
I mean, we'll see.
That's how we know him around here.
Yeah, yes, we do. And we'll see if that relationship goes any further, see if there's cash considerations there. So for Jordan Bell to tell Donovan Mitchell's girlfriend, call me, after he has a block shot, that's completely petty.
Petticoat Junction.
Eric, what do you have?
This weekend, Future dropped his Beast Mode 2 album.
Mm-hmm.
Happened to drop it on the same exact day that Russell Wilson and Future's ex-girlfriend Sierra are celebrating their anniversary.
No.
Trying to take the shine away from the beautiful couple with his new release of the album.
Petticoat Junction.
Put his ass on the petty train. He timed it out perfectly.
Yeah, coincident? I don't think so.
Why did he do that? Because he's petty.
Because he's petty, simply put.
All right, Felix, what's your vote?
NBC Indianapolis affiliate over there, WTHR, just aired an interview with Doug McDermott, and they did him so dirty. On the very bottom, where they usually put his name, it says Reggie Miller fan.
That's
how they know Doug McDermott, the guy who just signed a big contract, and they have him written under as Reggie Miller fan.
On the Chiron, it should say Doug McDermott signs, you know, an incredible deal.
Yeah, he signed a great deal.
As if he's not an NBA player, like Reggie Miller fan.
Reggie Miller fan.
Oh, just like some white dude on the street, Reggie Miller fan. Like, come on.
We found this man on the streets of Indianapolis who's a Reggie Miller fan. He looks like Doug McDermott. Doug, your thoughts, sir. Like he's a simp. Like you're just some clown. I really want you to get that fourth one in. Because I want... Give me that fourth one.
Okay, so Kyle O'Quinn signed with the Pacers. And he was asked in his press conference with the Pacers, why did you turn down the offer for the Knicks? And he goes, I feel like playing for something more than a draft pick next year.
Oh!
Petticoat Junction.
We'll put those four up on the poll at ESPN 1000. We'll ask you who's the pettiest of the sports weekend, because that's what we do. Look for the petty every single Monday. Summer of football is next. I'm not into-